podcast, you normally are rambling about something.
It's not rambling. I come to a thoughtful conclusion about something.
Then Thor goes, "This is Midtown Comics Podcast." Yeah, all right.
So
you take over after.
So this is the Midtown Comics Podcast, the 25th of October episode. I don't know. I don't think we have numbers anymore. With me, my co-host for today, without Thor, is Ted Alexander, the assistant manager of the downtown store.
Yes, the downtown store that hasn't opened yet, but it will be opening up next month.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No one asked.
You did earlier, before you turned the mic on.
And we have with us special guest Rebecca Isaacs, artist on DV8 and upcoming Magus.
Magus.
And John Price, the one of the co-writers of that book.
That's true. Hello.
Cool. Ted, how's downtown coming along?
Downtown's going doing good. I was just down there yesterday, and I'll be there all next week.
Like setting up and stuff?
Yes.
Jeez,
it's,
so
it's like an empty pallet, and we're going to fill it with Midtown goodness.
Cool.
And
so
where is that exactly?
Yeah, it's on Fulton Street, and that's all I can really say right now.
Oh.
Yes. But in a couple weeks, we'll be blasting it everywhere.
You should give a small prize to whoever can find it first.
There is people that know because
where's Teldo?
We have the truck down there, and they're like, there is customers I recognize, and they're like giving me the eye, like, ah. So it's out there, but I don't think, I don't know.
It's out there, but it's not out there.
Yeah, let us set up first, and then we'll
give us
a couple weeks.
So is it one of those construction sites where people could peer in through the
yes,
things?
Actually, you could sit. You could sit and like across the street and watch us work inside.
Oh, cool.
Live webcam.
That'd be awesome.
The website will be up next week.
Cool.
That's awesome.
So in comic news, anyone have any comic news?
In general.
In general. Any comic related
it's
news?
Still, I think the industry is still plugging along.
Okay.
That's
all right. I'm hearing a lot of digital stuff is coming out.
Yeah, digital thing is good.
Yeah.
I'll throw something out there.
Yeah. What is it?
This whole $2.99 thing that's happening,
yeah.
Everything's dropping down. How do you feel about that?
I think it's great.
Yeah,
as creators.
I mean, it's good. The whole losing two pages of story thing is a little weird on the DC side.
Oh, is that what they're doing? They're
dropping two pages of story, I think, and adding 2 pages of ads.
What is it? 19 pages in that case?
It's going to be 20 pages of story.
Oh, I had no idea it was 22 pages.
Yeah.
Although splash pages confuse me, but yeah.
I mean, it's good. I mean, I think definitely, you know, we want to go and buy a lot of books.
Yeah.
$3.99 is a lot to spend on a book, but you know, I don't know, $2.99 is a good price for things, I think.
Yeah, and if that gets people to buy more books, then it'll work out well for creators in the long run. Yeah.
But
I mean, the 2 pages, you know, it seems like it's a very small difference, but anybody who's ever tried to write, you know, cram
losing
pages,
2 pages is really
like,
tough, yeah.
And those last 2 pages are always the most difficult ones to cram everything into, so going to be kind of a challenge.
So is it going to affect your guys' paychecks any?
I wasn't aware we were getting a paycheck.
Do you guys remember a few years ago Warren Ellis and Matt Fraction did these 16-page stories for $2? It was for Warren Ellis, it was called Fell, and it was like a detective story, and Matt Fraction did Casanova. I'm sure you guys have heard that
yeah,
one.
Yeah. Those are great ideas.
And the whole idea was that, you know, we're just going to give you guys a solid 16-page story for $2, but it's only going to be 16 pages. That's the catch. So I guess it's going to be a little bit of that now.
Yeah. Yeah, but I wonder if some artists, well, even writers and artists, will have a problem with that because, you know, if you cut 2 pages out of somebody's monthly work, then that's in some cases, that can be a lot of money that they don't make that month.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's not a huge difference, but it's something. And if you're, you know, if you're feeding a family of, you know, 3 or 4, it can make a big difference. So who knows?
Mm. But you, Ted, you're feeding a family of 3 or 4?
Currently, yes. But I'm happy because the comics will be cheaper for me, so I'll actually be saving money.
Yeah.
I can actually feed your kids now.
Yeah, I can actually feed them more.
Cool. And I don't know if you guys have heard of the DC bringing back the Legion of Superheroes voting thing. Do you guys know anything about
no.
that by any chance?
No.
All right. Nice. Back in the 70s, 60s, 80s even, I think. But yeah, the... you know, the Legion of Superheroes was probably the most fan-involved comic of all time because they really listened to fans, and a lot of fans ended up writing for it, including Jim Shooter, Paul Levitz, other people. So one of the classic moves that they did was have fans write in on who would become Legion chairman.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing it back now. Thanks to the internet, it should be a lot easier to get through. Ted, are you going to vote?
Yes.
Who are you going to vote for?
Karate
Kid?
Lightning Lad. That's the
Are you guys going to vote? It's free. It's just, yeah.
Sure. Do you have to choose from existing
characters? Yeah,
there's no writers.
Oh, okay.
You can't create a character.
Oh, I can't just name John.
Yeah, I would also write
John
myself
Price.
In.
Okay, bummer.
Yeah.
I don't know about that then.
What is that? Is that starting soon? Is that already started?
That's already started. It's on DC Comics site. You could just go on it right now and just vote for whoever you want.
I want to vote for Fortress Lad.
Who the hell's Fortress Lad?
Fortress Lad, I don't know. It's in Secret Origins. He's the fortress that they all sit in. It was actual a character that could turn into a fortress. It's the most messed up Secret Origin I've ever read.
Yeah,
he basically
really
he had his brain washed, and he's forced into this.
This is real, man? Because I never heard of this.
This is real. The story goes, he could change into a fortress, and they all hung out in him, but then he'd become like a boy and help him fight and stuff.
Wait, he's underage as well? So they hung out inside an
yes,
underage
exactly.
superhero.
So
what?
The story goes, he got hit by this ray or something that turned him into the fortress permanently, and then all the people that knew that he was Fortress Boy got brainwashed and forgot who Fortress Boy was. So he is
so
basically the fortress, but he's still alive, and he knows it, but he can't communicate because he's a fortress.
Good God.
Wow.
He needs his own book immediately.
Wikipedia.
When did you read this?
Wikipedia.
Like, where did you read it? Oh, it was Wikipedia?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I actually have the issue. I actually went to
it was a Secret Origins
Comic-Con
issue?
And looked for the issue. It was a Secret Origin. I forget the number. I wish I could tell you, say it, but look
God.
So what qualities does he have that you think will help him?
Well, I just feel bad for
in
him.
His role
of
chairman.
Oh, so pity. Pity is the only reason that he should
be
chairman.
He knows what's going on. He's like yelling at people, but nobody hears him because he's a fortress.
Pity.
So just look up Fortress Lion Wiki, and it's like the most tragic story.
Oh, man.
I mean,
bring it back. Wow. Bring it back.
Isn't pity how, what's his name, Governor Patterson got
that's
into
true.
Office?
That's sort of true.
And a lot of luck, I think.
And a lot of luck. So tell us about Magus, guys.
Oh, man, Magus. This is
you guys write it with
coming.
Dave Norton?
Yep, Dave is my co-writer. Dave helped me kind of wrangle the story a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a big story, but basic premise is it assumes or tries to discover what would happen if in our world everyone could suddenly do magic, if every single person on our planet could do magic.
Abruptly, you're saying?
Yes, extremely abruptly.
Okay.
And it's sort of that rough transition of what happens before and after. And the idea is magic used to exist in our world, but it kind of was taken away.
Okay.
It was sealed away, and everyone forgot about it. You know, we follow the characters that are directly involved in this, and it's a small group of people and that are basically the cause, but you don't... It's a big mystery in the first arc of why it happened, and we kind of discover along the way what happened. And yeah, it's sort of insane in the sense of like it's a really rough transition between like everyone now not being able to do magic,
yeah,
and not knowing it exists, and then all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and you can shoot fire or fly or whatever. So,
but not only you, but your neighbor and
everybody.
Your entire
yeah.
family,
yeah,
toddlers, man, toddlers.
yes, actually, yes.
Yeah.
There's a really interesting yeah. In issue 4, there's a really disturbing panel. Having to do with that Rebecca came up with all on her own.
Yeah, I guess I like to think of the more morbid implications of what would happen. But yeah, I mean, you know, those kind of everyday implications,
yeah.
What would happen with, you know, just neighbors, like you said, and then what would happen in politics. And
yeah, definitely the big government upheaval as well.
Yeah.
It's a big power shift, you know, and whenever there's a power shift, someone new tries to grab power every time, I think.
Hmm.
And that's true here as well.
A lot of people have described it as a cross between Heroes and Harry Potter, and I think that's
accurate.
Fairly
it's
accurate.
A little darker maybe, but yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the new universe that Marvel launched in 1987, I believe?
No, what's that?
Essentially, the whole premise was they were creating a new universe similar to the Marvel universe itself.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1960s, Marvel was just like such a revolutionary take on you know, superheroes and stuff, character interactions and everything. So they said, let's take it one step further, make it the world outside your window, which was their tagline. And they had this event called the White Event, and out of that, 4 titles were launched about people with superpowers, similar to Heroes.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what it reminded me of, because it just happened with a single event.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
that's pretty much what's happened here. You know, there's this giant seal that this group created
mm-hmm.
that it's a physical seal and also sort of a metaphoric seal that took magic away.
Okay.
And throughout the first couple issues, the seal's breaking and more magic instances are occurring outside mm-hmm. of the world as the magic kind of leaks out until the one event happens and it sort of shatters the seal entirely. And that's in issue 3, so I don't want to reveal quite what happens, but because it's kind of a cool moment. But it's and then, you know, we're doing a 5-issue arc here, yeah. but if it goes further, there's a lot more implications of what happens through the first five after the first 5 issues. So there's it's pretty big scale, but we're focusing in this first 5 on sort of the small scale issues for a little while with some big scale moments, I guess.
Yeah. Hey Ted, how would you feel if someone else did magic other than you?
Well,
he took my nose once and gave it back to me.
It was nice for him that he gave it back to you.
I'd want to do magic better than that guy.
Well, one of the things we've been doing on our Facebook page is you know, asking questions every other day or so, like what kind of magical power would you want to have if, mm-hmm. if you could use magic, and what would you be most afraid of if everyone could use magic,
and any surprising answers?
No, I think Tony Chastain mentioned he would be afraid of rednecks having magic. And I would also be afraid of rednecks having magic, so that's a good answer.
What about you guys? What kind of, like, if you had to choose one specific magic power
that you'd
be gifted with, what would it be?
I'd like to have money appear from behind my ear, like unlimited money. That would be great.
But if it was just like a quarter or something?
Like a quarter, maybe, yeah, well, that's how I want to do it, though. It'll be more interesting that way.
Yeah.
like a kind of a slot machine, maybe.
It would take a long time to build your bank account up that way, though.
You know, it's not about the money. It's about the magic.
I see,
you know?
I see.
Well, I'd want to, I'm sorry, shoving the mic in my face. I wanted, feed everybody in the world somehow. No, actually, I'd want money too.
Sorry. Well, with all that money,
don't take my magic.
No, but really, flight. I mean,
yeah.
No, even if it's a broomstick.
What about you guys?
Oh man, I want. This is cheating, but I want the ability to mimic any other magic power.
Not my power.
Really,
can I get a second power of not being able no, that, to be mimicked?
Yeah, that's actually good. I'm gonna write that into the second arc. That's a good idea.
How about you, Rekha?
The one that I said on Facebook was that I don't want to.
you don't want to ruin Facebook, but
yeah.
I'd want to be able to transfer my fart cloud to another person.
that's good.
So that I could blame it on someone else, but in reality, I don't know.
That's a useful power.
That's
a useful power.
Yeah, it is.
Power.
It really is.
So you guys work with Dave Norton. So
yeah.
How do you guys divide the writing chores?
Initially when I created the concept a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And sort of realized early on that it was going to get a little bit too big for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Dave to help me, and he created some awesome villains and sort of helped me flesh the story out and the backstories out. And then,
The fact is, it doesn't sound like you're doing a comic series. It sounds like you're creating a comic universe in itself, right?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely sort of are, and maybe a little bit too ambitiously, because, you know, we had I had the initial story, and I was mm-hmm. like, well, this is going to be this really long. I think the first idea I had was like a 50-issue series, or just a general ongoing series. And then I was like, that's not really realistic in today's comics industry. So mm-hmm. I pared it down, and we pared it down to 21 issues eventually. And so we're doing it in 5-issue chunks, and we'll see what happens. If
sure.
it does well, we'll keep doing them. And we definitely have enough story, but Dave helped me kind of flesh it out, the backstory, and then I'm writing 1 through 4 this time, and then Dave's writing 5,
mm-hmm.
and then if we go 4, Dave will write more every issue in every arc. But he was so helpful in creating the backstories and some really, really awesome villains, very dastardly villains.
So John, this was your idea. How'd you get Rebecca and David involved? I mean, how'd you coerce him?
Well, with Dave, it was easy because we've always kind of wanted to work together on something.
Okay.
We've known each other since college. And so that, when I told him this idea, he really loved it. And when we started putting the pitch together, he was psyched about that. And Rebecca's my girlfriend, so she's
obligated.
Yeah, you should explain how you got into it, because that sounds bad.
Yeah, it does. He says that he gets me to draw stuff with chocolate and back rubs, but I don't really see that much of either, so I don't know. But we met through Craigslist, actually, through the Strictly Platonic section.
Uh-huh.
We just met as friends. And
that's the trick.
Yeah, it is.
It's a trick.
It's pretty smart.
It was a trick. But it worked.
But I, you know, we started talking about these story ideas the very first time we met. I don't know how we got into it. Uh-huh. And I really liked this one zombie idea that he was working on. He was trying to pitch it as a TV show. And so I did. Like,
and
a,
so Walking Dead was born.
Yeah, I wish. Yeah. I wish.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Right after he tried to pitch that, then the news about the Walking Dead TV yeah. series sure, sure. was released. And we were like, yeah, that's a sore not going to work so case. Well.
I'm sorry, guys.
I mean, it was very different in tone and theme, I think. But, you know, there's only room for so many zombie, yes. Epic zombie TV shows, I think. Yeah. So, you know, by that time we'd started dating, and we were still working on stuff together. And I was like, you know, what other ideas do you have? And he told me about this magic idea, and I thought it was really cool. And I loved how it was so epic in scope, but it still focused on a very small group of characters that I really liked. And I thought, you know, I'm a big Star Wars fan, and I think that some of the character dynamics and relationships are very similar to, you know, the archetypes that are in the original Star Wars trilogy. And I don't know.
I imagine the zombie is a Wookiee, right?
Definitely yeah. similar. Yes, exactly the same.
So that was that. And I was like, we really need to make this into a pitch. And we did, and finally got it picked up after a while of trying.
So who's publishing Magus?
12 Gauge Comics.
Awesome. What was the latest thing that did? Was it Six Gun? Was that them? Or?
Yeah.
No, they just did, they're doing 25 to Life.
Okay.
Which is a really cool series. Mm-hmm. The Boondock Saints comics they're doing.
All Saints Day.
Which is really cool stuff. They have the RPM books that Mick Foley is working on.
Oh, okay.
But it's we did meet him at Heroes Con. Yeah, he was a really cool guy.
He's like the nicest guy ever.
Yeah,
it's so weird. I don't know why that should be weird, but you know, you just like expect this.
He gets beat up for a living, so
yeah.
He's got all his anger beaten out of him.
Yeah, he was really nice.
So one thing about Magus. I'm sorry.
You can pronounce it any way you want.
Yeah, as long as you buy it, we don't care.
What? So, do you have an ensemble cast, or what's your main character like? I mean, it sounds like you are into characterization a lot more than other things. So, what can we expect? The I guess main, if there's one main character, what's he
it's
like?
A little bit of an ensemble, but there's definitely two main characters, Ben and Darius, which they're like 17-year-old best friends.
Okay.
For you know, since when they were 4 or 5 years old.
Okay.
And they're
is that you and Dave?
No. I kind of created both of them sort maybe basically like as different parts of myself in a way, I guess. Because one of them, Darius is very good at lots of things. I'm not good at lots of things, but I wish I was good at lots of things. So that's sort of where that character came in. He's athletic and pretty smart and handsome and good looking. And Ben's the opposite. He's sort of nerdy and not good at sports and not great with the ladies. But they've lived next to each other.
Did you want to be like that too?
That one I'm much more like. I'm much more like Ben than I am Darius. But they're sort of instrumental and everything kind of bases, you know, around them as the story starts.
Mm-hmm.
And they find this girl, Lena, who at the beginning of issue one has escaped this mental hospital that she's been in for a long time. And that sort of forms this love triangle a little bit there.
Interesting.
Yeah. And we have some other characters too. It's definitely an ensemble, but Ben and Darius and Lena are at the heart of everything always.
Do you have a favorite to draw, Rebecca?
Yeah, I don't know. I like all of them. I can't really. I like drawing hair, like crazy hair. So
yeah, Lena has crazy hair.
Who's got a crazy hair? Lena.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
I was just gonna say, it sounds like it's pretty fun to draw this one because it's got a lot of magic. I mean, expecting a lot of fireballs and stuff. So it looks sounds like it's pretty fun to draw.
Yeah, I got to draw a dragon in issue 3, and that was really cool.
Spoiler.
Dragon.
Yeah,
in,
spoiler alert.
Well, we've talked about it.
A little bit. Yeah,
it's hard to keep that kind of thing under wraps because you want to tell people about it so much.
I automatically think dragons when I hear magic. So.
Well, that's sort of what we, you know, I tried to think about that kind of stuff. Like, what would people want to see in this scenario? And we didn't want to get too into magical creatures and that sort of thing, but you have to throw a dragon in there, you know, if you have the opportunity to. Mm-hmm. And we did, so why not throw one in a supermarket, see what happens.
how does the internet get affected by magic?
Oh man, the internet would just be in your brain.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, so tell us about DV8, Rebecca. How was it working on that? I'm assuming you're finished drawing and everything, right?
Yeah, I finished several months ago.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we started out with a pretty big lead time.
My question when he told me yesterday that I'd be talking to you was like, Brian Wood is known for like his books coming out on time, like mm-hmm. every month.
Yeah.
Does that like put any pressure on you?
No, I think we worked pretty well together because he is really dedicated to his deadlines and so am I. Like I'm known as kind of a fast worker, I guess, if I'm known for anything. And so it was good. It actually worked out really well.
That's what I admire most about Brian Wood. He's like, he makes great books mm-hmm. and they're always on time.
Yeah.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought. without ruining what the ending's going to be like, what is it, 7 issues really already close. Came out?
Yeah.
Number 7 just came out.
So, is there a plan for future Deviate projects, or can I assume that they're all going to explode at the end and die? Or
gain magical powers.
Crossover.
Yeah.
Are you at least planning working with Brian Wood again, or any future plans in that that regard?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd love to work with Brian again. You know, I'm not sure if we'll be able to work on anything Wildstorm-related mm-hmm. in the future, anytime soon, at least.
Well, since Wildstorm is pretty much defunct at this point, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they have said that they hope to bring some of those characters into the DCU.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows? I hope that they will. But I really hope that I can work with Brian on something else really soon because he was awesome to work with. He's a fantastic writer.
Cool. Like, gives you a lot of room to express yourself and stuff?
Definitely,
or?
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely not one of those writers who, you know, gets overly wordy and has to, like, have total control over every little detail. Like, you know, he respects his artists.
Why are you pointing at John?
No.
I will say that Rebecca's a pretty amazing storyteller. I don't think she gives herself enough credit, but she's easily able to take a page or scene that you write and make it 50 times better than you wrote it. I'm not sure. I didn't read the Deviate script, so I don't know about that. But I know about with Magus. I mean, she's been able to take these scenes that I you know, either too many panels or too few panels, and just streamline them and make the story flow so easily out of that, and really be exciting. And there's a lot of conversational scenes that are mm-hmm. we need to get a lot of information out in 5 issues, and
yeah,
so
yeah.
You have no way to do that sometimes but conversation. But Rebecca makes it very interesting to read and not boring. Which is really cool. So.
Well, I mean, cool. You know, you came from a background that was more like screenwriting and
sure.
stuff like that. So I think it's, you know, sometimes you need to be kind of like reined back with that, you know, so
maybe.
That it
yeah.
helps that it helps that to work with somebody who's done more comic stuff. So
you guys have anything else coming up other than that? Or any projects you guys are working on individually or anything other than Magus?
No,
Magus?
I mean, I'm just, this has been taking up so much of our time being a creator of a book. I mean, it's, you have to do everything yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kevin Gardner at 12 Gauge has been great and really helpful. But, you know, in terms of promotion, we're working real hard just to get the word out there about the book and mm-hmm. And just finish writing it. I mean, I just finished writing issue 4 last night, actually. I wrote the last scene, or 2 nights ago I wrote the last scene. So
yeah.
Rebecca's already in the middle of drawing it, and I had to finish that last scene. But yeah, that's really it for me now, is just finishing this and seeing what happens.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm finishing up Magus. I have miniseries that I'm working on with Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really say anything about it, except I can say that Iron Man's in it, although it doesn't help a whole lot.
Iron Man's in it. Awesome.
Yeah.
Iron Man is returning to Marvel Comics.
Yes. Surprising. We
triumphant
have not heard from
return.
Iron Man.
But yeah, that's really all I can say. It's a ways out from being solicited, but it's going to be really cool.
It is really cool.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. From magic to technology.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So we didn't mention the date. December 15th is...
December 15th, mm-hmm. yep.
December
it's 15th. In the October issue of Previews. Issue 1 is in October issue of Previews. So you can ask your local comic store or Midtown Comics to carry it.
And there you go. We're exclusive on Graphically.
Digitally, yes. On Graphically, which is a really cool online platform for digital comics. They're partner now with iFanboy also.
Okay.
So they're a cool company and their platform is really awesome. So we'll be out on that as well.
So even if you're too lazy to go to your comic book store.
Well, we do deliver.
Yeah, we do ship.
We
do
yeah.
ship. We have a website.
So yeah.
Oh,
if you are
right.
too lazy to go to the comic store, we do deliver worldwide for hard copies.
For the real lazy person.
All right, so let's move on to Midtown Comics Picks of the Week.
Yeah.
All right, so guess who wants to go first?
I guess my pick this week is the new Scalped is out,
uh-huh.
which is awesome. Jason Aaron, number 42, is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, number 42.
Yeah. and everyone should buy that one for sure. Jason Aaron, I never saw what he looked like before. Have you ever seen what Jason Aaron looks like?
Does he have a long beard?
Yeah, like, he's the most badass looking guy I've ever seen in my life.
And really?
Anyone that draws or writes that book or writes, you know, he's writing Punisher also, should look like that. Like, if he looked
Wolverine
like me
as well.
He does. Yeah. If he looked like me, I would not bite the end of the book. But I saw what
he
looked
hide.
Like. Yeah, I saw what he looked like, and he's like, that makes sense.
It's funny, Garth Ennis, who writes similar characters, similarly badass ways, is apparently a really nice and
he's one of the
not
creators.
Violent looking at all.
Yeah. I think Jason Aaron's really nice. He just looks awesome,
like a badass.
Yeah, he does. Badass. Yeah,
you would pick up a Adventures of Jason Aaron hardcover written by Jason Aaron.
I can't grow facial hair either, so I really admire a gigantic beard.
Cool.
So, yeah,
I admire Fu Manchus personally.
So that's the reason I'm picking Scalpel.
Yes.
Rebecca, what's your pick of this week or last week, as it were?
Yeah. I started reading Turf actually, and I was really excited that number 3 came out. Although I haven't actually picked it up yet.
Uh-oh.
But I'm sure it's going to be awesome.
Well, what's so awesome about Turf?
It's just like not at all what I expected it to be. You know, I didn't really read anything about it before I picked up number 1.
And it's written by Jonathan Ross. Right?
Yeah.
Well, I kind of tell me if I'm wrong here because I haven't read it, but I expect it to be about Prohibition era aliens and gang warfare.
Well, yeah, and then you can also throw vampires in there. I don't know. It's just which sounds like it should be just total overkill, and way over the top. But the way they managed to blend it together so well, and it's like still a very human, eloquent story, and the characters are really cool, and even the ones that don't speak English are really compelling somehow. Not to say like. I mean, don't speak any language at all or any recognizable language at all. I'm talking about the aliens, obviously.
Sure.
but it's really fantastic. And the art is amazing.
Well, I'm a huge fan of the Untouchables movie. Would I be a fan of this? But not Star Wars.
Yeah.
But not Star Wars. Would I be a fan of this?
Yeah.
That was a definitely wholehearted approval. Yes.
Just read it. That's all I'm gonna say.
All right, convince me, Ted.
My pick next week is the second volume of Incognito.
Oh yeah,
number 1's coming out.
Yeah, second volume. They don't do seasons, man. It doesn't make sense in comics.
They did in Sleeper. But yeah, Incognito, volume 2, number 1.
What's it about?
Basis is a good guy or bad guy in government protection, wants to be good / bad again, so he like gets off his drugs, gets his powers back.
Okay. Wait, when you get off drugs, you get superpowers?
Well, he takes drugs to suppress his powers, but then he stops taking them, so he gets his powers back.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's fun.
Who puts that book out?
Icon, which
Marvel.
Is Marvel.
Okay. Yeah, Marvel.
I read anything Blue Baker does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I read, you know, napkins that he scratches on.
It's a good series. Yeah.
Thanks for asking, Ted. My pick is DC Comics Presents Young Justice number 1. And I can't wait to see the Young Justice comics in print. Have you guys read any of the Young Justice stuff?
No.
Mm-mm. It was just very fun, comics about just the kid characters in DC Universe, Robin, Superboy, Impulse. And it was well drawn, written by Peter David. And we haven't seen them in the trade paperback at all in the past, 20 years, 10 years?
Yeah. They're actually, is that for the, they're coming back on television soon?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they're coming out
if they're not
TV
already.
Show. That's right. Yeah.
So is this the old
network?
Yeah, comics coming out in trade?
Yeah, well, not in trade. DC's been putting out these DC Comics Presents format comics where they're just putting together hard-to-find comics into these. They're like comics. They have spines in them, but they're comics technically. But you'd find like a good 4 issues in one.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, it's good at doing that.
And Thor texted me earlier, and his is the Beast of Burden Hellboy crossover.
How did I know?
Wow. Well, you wrote it down for me.
All right. So
I didn't even know that existed. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. According to Evan Dorkin, who was on our show in the past, Hellboy crushes all the cats and dogs.
Oh.
Squeezes them with his right hand of doom until their heads pop off or something. And that's the entire comic.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
That's what he said. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think Thor's going to buy it anymore now.
Really, because of the death of the cats?
Spoilers.
So, Midtown Comics sales this week include 30% off of all DC back issues from letters T through Z, 30% off of all Captain America comics. And I know you like Captain America, Ted.
Yep. I have the Steve Rogers shirt.
Yeah, you have Steve Rogers shirt that we were selling here. What is it? 30% off of all Halloween costumes and accessories. Do you guys have costumes ready? Or?
Oh.
We have ideas, but we haven't committed to anything yet.
What's your ideas?
Well, we did. We did this concert for New York Comic Con, and we dressed up all these crappy superhero costumes. We had like a Captain America and
Crapton America.
Yeah, it was really terribly put together costume. So we were thinking of doing a crappy Avengers, where everyone dressed up as a crappy Avenger, and Rekka was going to dress up as crappy Thor, and I was going to dress up as crappy Tony Stark, but have a Stork Industries patch on and just
Stork Industries.
That's
funny.
Just like a really terrible suit, and I don't know, just a stupid idea.
What neighborhood do you guys live in? I want to go trick or treating there.
We live in Astoria. Yeah, so you come hang out in Astoria.
What about you guys? Costumes? Yet.
I'm actually, my fiance is going to be a sexy referee, and I'm going to be just a regular referee.
Really?
You should switch it. You should be the sexy referee.
I thought about that, but...
Guys need to take the sexy costume.
I can't pull the sexy off like that.
So. Believe in yourself.
Yeah, as Ted was saying, I'm going as a sexy referee, and he's going as the referee. So we got 15 to 50% off of all DVDs online, and 10 to 50% off of all collectibles as well, and 15 to, this is a lot of sales this week, man. Yeah.
Can you read your own handwriting?
I can't read my handwriting. And apparently 15 to 50% off of all Transformers or something? Batteries in Transformers? Do we sell batteries?
Maybe it's battery-operated Transformers.
I don't even think we have those either. All right, anyway. All right, well, you know, check out Midtown Comics TV. Check out, you know, our new blog that's on. What is it? Blogspot.midtowncomics.com?
It's blog.midtowncomics.
Blog.midtowncomics.com. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ted. And where can fans check you guys out?
Well, you can find some major stuff on 12gaugecomics.com.
Okay.
For sure.
On Facebook.
We have a Facebook page as well.
Awesome. Yep. A Magus Facebook?
Yes.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Rebecca has a website as well.
Be friends with Magus.
Be friends with Magus. Yep. Or like Magus. Yeah. And then RebeccaIsaacs.com.
Oh, yeah.
Your website.
Yep.
Cool. Any Twitters? You guys do that? Twitter?
Yeah.
We have mm-hmm. Midtown Comics Twitter, too.
John S. Price. Yep. At John S. Price. Price.
Yes. Yeah, I think nice. I think I follow you guys.
Yep.
You better follow me.
What's a Twitter?
I guess now we will.
What's a Twitter?
Midtown Comics.
This thing about
Midtown
Twitter.
Comics tweet. Oh, you're asking what a Twitter is?
Yeah, never mind.
It's
I'll read about it later.
You post how you feel every hour or two.
Like what, 140 characters? Or
that's
less?
Right. You know an awful lot for never hurting. But
cool. And one of our traditions is to end our final words with the final words of a character. So who wants to read this one? This is Superman's final words. In Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, written by Alan Moore.
Rebecca should read it.
Rebecca, you want to read it?
Yeah.
Walks do with the motion.
Flies to space.
This one right here?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Just the last little part?
Just that, yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know how to pronounce that.
You don't know how to pronounce have?
No. This one right here.
Mixoplick.
Mixispitlick.
Mixoplick.
I don't think we have a consensus here.
Mixoplick.
All right, just read it however you think it sounds.
Yes, I have. Nobody has the right to kill. Not Mitsupilic, not you, not Superman, especially not Superman.
And that's your thanks.